Let me start with my poster now, shall I? Since, you know, that basically lays the foundation of what I'm going to be rambling about today. And, here we are. Now, from the payless American budget-friendly footwear company, fooling social media influencers back in 2018, and the Italian authorities' investigation of Armani and Christian Dior last year for misleading consumers about how they source their products, to Donald Trump's tariffs that have led to a full-scale tariff war between the U.S. and China, which have once again brought brand designers under the spotlight. In or under the spotlight. For those of you that went to private school, you figured out. Now, let's look into, at least for a better part of today's show, Mind the Gap show, let's look into the interesting psychology behind, behind high-end products and exotic, exotic products or exotic brands or high-end brands or designer brands, because it turns out like the American footwear company proved back in 2018 that it's very easy to lie to people. Of course, this is something that politicians have proven over and over and over again, that is actually easier to lie to people than to tell them the truth. It takes a lot of energy to tell people the truth. It takes a fraction of the energy to lie to them. Actually, one thing that was also observed by George Carlin is that the bigger the group, the easier it is to fool. I know. Now, you'd think that when a group is big, there's a lot of there's a lot of heads that can come together and analyze your lies. Well, it turns out no. The bigger the group, the easier it is to fool. I know, the irony, right? But we have another story coming out of Kenya. Of course, we'll get to that when we talk about international news. Oh, dear. But anyway, let's look into this whole designer brands. Now, for those of you that are following what is going on, are following the more like one of those social, economic, and political fallout emanating from the, from the tariff war between China and the U.S. One thing that you see is that Chinese social media, especially for a better part of the last, the last few days to a week, have been flooded with a lot of influencers basically telling those of you that can afford brand design, designer brands, that, well, actually, you know that $10,000 you are paying for a handbag actually is made for like $5, and and you know how the owners of these brands have been telling you that this is a master craftsmanship of one master craftsman that have that have inherited the craftsmanship from his grandfather, who inherited it from his great grandfather, who inherited it. It's a family guarded secret. So there's only one of a kind. Once you have this designer bag, it's one of a kind on this planet. It turns out they're being mass produced in China. Now, whether that is the truth or it's one of those things that that is the fallout of the tariff war, it gives a bunch of guys that are broke and cannot afford all the designer brands for themselves, let alone for their girlfriends, like yours truly here. So at least we have something to talk about. We're just going to make fun of it. And moving on. Now, a lot of people are waking up, a lot of people are beginning basically are beginning to have a conversation around, okay, how do I know where this product, how do I know that, all these designer brands are telling me the truth about how much it costs to make this product, about the material that is used to make this product? How do I know that it's not being mass produced somewhere, somewhere in China, and then the supply is bottlenecked, so that they can keep the reputation, and so, well, that obviously comes with the price, the price tag of a $10,000 handbag. What am I carrying in that handbag? Like one cab driver pointed out to me that, well, it's very difficult for me to help you, even if I find you walking over a long distance as a taxi driver, it's very difficult for me to help you. It's very difficult for me to give you a free ride to your destination. When you have a $3,000 shoe, $5,000 watch, $1,500 jean, like at this point this guy is a walking, talking ATM. Why the heck is he walking again? It turns out, taxi drivers, on behalf of my fellow high-end product consumers, well, if you see me in a $2,000 shoe, I've been budgeting for it since last year. So don't assume that I have money. I'm just pretending like I have money. But believe me, I'm broke as hell. Here's the thing. One thing you'll see, especially when it comes to clothes, is that the people that walk around with large designers, with large designer logos, those are the broke ones. The ones that you see looking like they are homeless, more often, those are the rich ones. Those are the ones with money. I can write you a list. I swear I can do this. I can write you a list of 10 people I know that dress like they're homeless. Two of them are my bosses. Sorry, guys. I have to throw you under the bus on this one. Sense of fashion, these guys are terrible. You should see their cars. Now, at this point, which is why one of them, I don't want to mention any names, found himself in Swakop's at some point. I think that was 2017, 2018. And he walked in a coffee shop with that whole, Tura fashion. He's from Tura, specifically Okliangava. So he decided to walk in a coffee shop. According to him, all the employees were looking at, including the black employees, they were looking at him going like, "Eish, he's here to steal something, is he?" And some of them, you can imagine, they were going, "Can he afford our coffee, this one?" What they didn't know was that he could probably, afford their store. They didn't know that. And actually, I think, if one of them is listening and they know, they are piecing the pieces together, they are going out, which one of them? Well, I'll let you figure that part out. And then, this is something that keeps taking me back to the, to the procurement policy unit, financial literacy discussion, they did back in 2013 and found out that, financial literacy in Namibia is very high. It's financial discipline that we have a problem with. And then I came to realize that it's the same thing even when it comes to accommodation. Rich people, like real people with money, most of them live outside Windhoek. They drive in, work, and go out. Those ones that are hustling through their teeth, like yours truly here, we're the ones that live in fancy locations. Oh dear. And when you hear that, where does Helmut live? Well, Helmut stays in Klein Coupe. And you're asking yourself, oh, okay, you know what? Well, ever since he moved to Klein Coupe, he doesn't invite us to visit anymore. Guys, let me explain something to you. If you hear that I've moved to a fancy location, you have to understand that about 90% of my salary is going to rent. So chances are very high. The only thing in my fridge is water. Well, because it's the cheapest thing you can find. Well, now, the thing is, a lot of your relatives will not understand that. So, dear relatives, if you hear that I've moved in a fancy location, 90% of my salary is going to rent. So, if you visit me, chances are very high we are all going to starve together. And the last thing I want is you asking me, well, if your fridge is this empty and you are spending $7,000-$10,000 per month for a room, why not just go back to Okliangava where you'll be spending, $4,000 more rent per month, and at least you will have food in your fridge? It's about status, guys. It's about status. What we want here is, you know, every time we're having a conversation in public and they're asking me, I'll find a way to bring, to bring up the discussion of where we live so I can, you know, brag about where I live. I know my fridge is empty. I know I'm this close to getting kicked out of that, you know, that area. But it's just the, you know, it's the swag of telling people that you live in Ludwigsdorf. Man. The fridge is empty, but the swag is top notch. I live in Kleinekoppe. That's fancy. Pathetic, but hey, it's fancy. Come on. Seriously. Now, for those of you that are in Swakop, Valvis, what's the equivalent of this example that I gave here? Oshakati, Rundu, Katima Mlilo, throw them in there. And, basically every urban area has this type of people. People with money live outside of town. People that are broke are busy pretending like they have money and they live in some fancy location in town with an empty fridge. That's assuming if, you know, if they even have a fridge. Whew, this life, no balance. This life stopped balancing a long time ago. Good morning, Claudia. And good, and Ephraim. Now, good morning to Claudia and to Ephraim. You know, you guys just keep leaving the comments, the one about the frequency. Guys, someone solve the frequency problem. Please. Because I'm busy cracking my best jokes here. It pains me to know that it's not reaching, you know, the right audience. Now. So, where was I? Mense, if I can say this in Afrikaans. Mense, we like fancy things. All of us. It's just that other people are good at pretending like they don't like things. But there are those of us that are very good at showing that we like things. I know. So, let's look at and by the way, this is for those of you that like to say, hey, white people this, black people this, Indian this, Chinese. No, actually, as long as that living organism has 32 teeth, 2 legs, 2 arms, and it can speak language that's made out of words, we all want something at the end of the day. Now, where am I going with this? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm so glad you asked. Let me start with the Payless story. You see, Payless is an American, it's an American, budget friendly, shoes store. They sell, they sell shoes and handbags. I'm not sure if they're still in operation because they filed for bankruptcy like 3 times in the, in the last 5 years, the history that I found very interesting. I'm like, really? Why this? But it's a pretty old store. It's not a startup because it was founded somewhere in the late 1950s. So they've been your budget friendly. Now, back in 2018, they decided to, everyone knows them as the budget friendly store. Like, that's where, in Kavango, we call it, Ndando Zombiriha. Get yourself a Kavango friend to translate that part. What that means basically is that this shop is the shop that everyone knew that if you don't have the money, if you don't have the money to spend $1,000 on shoes, then, and if you want shoes on a budget, they are your go-to store. And back in 2018, they decided to pull off one of the best stunts ever pulled in the history of mankind. They decided to announce that they were opening a high-end shoes store. And they took the very same products they were selling in their budget stop, you know, in their budget shop. And their budget shop was, and has always been called Payless. And then they took those very same product and opened a whole, they had a grand opening. They had social media influencers and, you know, a bunch of social media influencers showed up to basically review the product, you know, sharing that information with their followers, telling them that, you know, like you can see that this is high quality material. Like you can see from the stitching that this is hand stitched from Italy. No, it wasn't. It was machine stitched in the US. Now, the thing is, a lot of these influencers, it turns out, they were just, they were not very different from from a lot of your modern day man of God. They are lying through their teeth 90% of the time. And this, now what Payless did was that, they took the products from their Payless shop, and then, they put the same products in their quote unquote high-end product store, or high-end clothing line, and they renamed that now the name of that shop was not Payless, it was Pelesi, just because of the name that sounds somewhat Italianish and Frenchish. Every influencer went bananas, and they all went, well, Pelesi, that must sound fancy. That reminds me of one South African TikToker who said that if you want something to sound expensive, you know, pronounce it in French. And the examples that he used were very convincing. That if you want something that you bought from Mr. Price to sound like you bought it from some French clothing line, just tell them that you bought it from Monsieur Price. Everyone is going to be like, what? Man, that sounds expensive. Actually, that's just Mr. Price in French. So from now on, whatever you are wearing, if it's from Mr. Price, it's not Mr. Price. It's not from Mr. Price. You have never gotten in Mr. Price. You bought it in Monsieur Price. Now, for those of you that have just gotten out of jail, yours truly, you know, at this point, if I was Ninja, every time someone will ask me, where were you the past 15, 20 years, I would tell them, well, I was on vacation, you know, I went to prison. Prison is such a dirty word. I was in prison, you know. Everyone will think it's some fancy vacation spot somewhere in France. It turns out, now, you know, the beauty of it is that, the Payless stunt, that was not pulled off in Africa. It was pulled off in America, and social media influencers were fooled, because if that happened in Africa, everyone would be like, yay, Africans, they don't know things. That was in America. So clearly this thing is not an African thing. It's a human being thing. We all like things we don't know. So Payless, picture Mr. Price taking the very same products that they have there in stores today and putting it in a shop written, in a shop written Monsieur Price. And then they mark up the price. Take, for example, the shoes that they have costing $200 in their Mr. Price store. In their store, you know, they take the same brand, the same product, and put it in a shop, in their high-end retail store. That's a fancy way of saying, you know, for rich people only. And they name that shop Monsieur Price, and then they jack up the price from $200 to $2,000. And you see everyone from Kleina Coupe, you know, your politicians will be the first one in line to walk in there to buy shoes in in Monsieur Price for $2,000. So it's, look, I think marketing is savage, guys. These guys, prophets, okay, most of the prophets we have today, most of the social influencers we have today, most of the man of God prophets, same WhatsApp group, and most of the traditional healers we have today, they are all in this same category where they have figured out what some of us just recently figured out. That is, yeah, you know, it's easier to lie to people than to tell them the truth. If you wanna tell people the truth, lie to them, they are most likely to believe you. If you tell them the truth, they'll be like, yeah, you get out of here. You're just lying at this point. So that is one interesting story of how we human beings, once again, have exposed ourselves that as much as we like all these designer brands, we can't tell the difference between a fake one and the real designer one, assuming it even exists, because at this point, as our next story is going to show, that, well, the Italians figured out the same thing last year. Now, and let's get to, where's my Pelesi? Un momento. S'il vous plaît. That's why I'm telling you that, well, we all like things, just that, other people are very good at hiding us. Other people are very good at hiding it. And then there are those of us that are terrible at hiding it. What sorcery is this? Retail Consumer Court in Italy. Retail Consumer Court. Retail Consaging. Blah blah blah. Anyway, I will need. Oh no, there's already a break coming up. So the Payless, unbelievable. Un momento. Payless fools influencers. This fooling went so viral, mainstream media picked it up. So the following article is from CNN, my favorite part. Now, hoodwinked social media influencers. That's a fancy way of saying, well, if you have enough followers, anything you say can be interpreted to mean the truth, even if you are lying. So, Payless, a brand known for budget-friendly shoes, opened a fake pop-up store called Palesi, in Los Angeles Mall, and invited influencers to the grand opening. The store was stocked with Payless shoes in disguise. Basically, Payless took the very same product from their Payless store, and then they put it in their store that they renamed Palesi. Now, the Payless one was already known all the way from 1950s that it's budget friendly. It's where you go and buy cheap shoes. And then they decided, you know what, we want to venture into high-end products in this, you know, line of business. And we want to sell shoes that are high quality to compete with household names like Armani, Louis Vuitton, and all those guys. So they took the same product, and then all they did was they moved the products from their cheap shop to their quote unquote expensive high end shop, and then changed the price from $200 Namibian to $3,000 Namibian. And people were showing up going, yeah, this looks, I mean, you can see right here that this is real leather. No, it wasn't. It was plastic. Man. You see, the psychology behind this is an interesting one. It's the reason why I keep saying that I don't think pap tastes in Africa the same way that, tastes in Europe the same way that it tastes in Africa. Like, when you are eating pap in Africa, the continent and the environment is somewhat of an invisible ingredient that contributes to how the pap tastes. Everyone that lives in Windhoek, that when you eat, when you eat kapana in Kleina Kupe, it doesn't taste the same when you are eating it at single quarters, because, you know, the environment contributes to the, you know, it's part of the ingredient, invisible ingredient, but you can taste it. You can taste it that, you know, now you are eating kapana. But, I feel like if you buy, take for example, $50 kapana, and you drive away from single quarter, the further away you get from single quarter, the less tastier it gets. And when you turn around and drive back, it becomes delicious again. It's, we'll never understand how, you know, why things work like this. It's somewhat very interesting. So I feel like if someone gave me pap in Europe, it will not taste the same and be like, I mean, it's pap, I know, but there's something missing. It's called Africa. You know, with the sun shining, imagine eating pap in snow. What kind of nonsense is that? First of all, your pap is going to look like snow if you are one of those top score guys. If you are Mahangu, congratulations. How you got into it, how do you got it into Europe is beyond me. Now, so the psychology is very interesting here. So it's not just in clothing that we are easily fooled, but, you know, by just a simple change in location. Give someone water at home. Give someone water at home. They'll be like, I mean, it's just water. Now, take them to a hotel, give them the same brand of water, and see them drink that water with style. It's just the same, but it is still water, for God's sake. Let's take a quick break.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Mukungule kwa tuko maikuto amina apili kwa mavcha ziva. Mwere kisema app atolo kasi nchavu kamso, zakale liferile, mise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zari vuka, kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Mwone maikuto amancha a imba app, mwikutwe kulibusie mba santo ye nguyetuna. Mwikole sifera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamuvone, imba encha, niencha farizwe, ikopanya mifuta ya lifera matasa app ilini, Ukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyale jiramulimu. Zengwi zefu mani hamasfera sesifa app ya imba kize tatama. Elsin, ehangano, oshiherero, omaemuriro, Catholic, simane kakarunga, Africans, ni zengwi zengata. Mululi zeze kachenu haiva mtavira kulisfera sakereke ya mina si eke zwefa mkoloko walifera za imba va 081-2358-063 kapa mulumere imele kwa digital@omalighty.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kachenu mkona kufumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
Siwana sana mibia, kamberera omwakarunga koe pamwe na imba.
Welcome back. now, these things have happened before, like 1,000 times. And one of them is, you know, one of them is in bottled water. Speaking of bottled water, back in, when was this? Back in 2012. Holy cow. This is a long time. Can't believe I was in high school, chilling, you know, making noise in the class where I was not paid. And now I'm getting paid to make noise. And every teacher was telling me to keep quiet. Kids, don't listen to your teacher. Parents are so mad at me after this. It's a comedy show. Just laugh and leave everything here. Chicago-based businessman had sued Nestle over claims that the 5-gallon jugs of Ice Mountain water is it purchased for its office dispensers were falsely advertised as containing natural spring water when in reality they were simply filled with regular tap water. That was Nestle in 2018, according to in 2012, according to Forbes. Nestle was busy selling water and telling its consumer that, you know what, this water is coming from some high mountain stream, squeaky clean water. It was tap water. And everyone was busy speaking their English and Francais, drinking the water, only to find out, hang on a second. You can imagine the same people were running around saying, you know what, I don't drink water, you know, I don't drink tap water, it gives me tummy aches. Yeah, can I have that one? Then they drank, well, tap water from bottled, well, fancily labeled bottle of water, and they were like, now this tastes like water. There was no difference. It was the same water. I swear, oh my God. Now, but that's just, you know, something that I just wanted to gloss through, which is why I'm telling you that, what changed? What changed? The difference is someone was getting the water through the tap and someone was getting it through the, you know, from a fridge. From some fridge somewhere in a grocery store. And they thought, man, because it was coming out of a bottle, they have fooled themselves into believing this have got to be the cleanest water. No, it wasn't. It was the same type, basically. As well, just, you know, take it straight from the tap. And the difference is, this is what falls, and I'm not a medical expert, but this just at the top of my head here. This is what easily falls under what they call, what's this, the placebo effect. Yeah, you know, plus boy effect. The best way to describe that is that, sometimes we can convince ourselves that something is working. And because of us convincing ourselves that something is working, then it begins to show effects like it's working. But, well, it's not. Imagine the same person that was saying, I can't drink tap water because it gives me tummy aches, was drinking that Nestle bottled water that was, according to Forbes, well sourced from the tap, and they didn't have tummy aches. Now, what gave them tummy aches when they had tap water directly from the tap? And how did that tummy ache, how did they not have that tummy ache problem when they drank the same water from a bottle? Is because part of them was telling them, this is not tap water. This is where the whole idea behind spirituality now becomes very interesting. Like the psychology behind becomes very interesting. That sometimes when we are telling ourselves that this is working, when we convince ourselves that this can work, turns out it works. Only when it comes to money, then it doesn't work. I've convinced myself that I'm rich. Well, I wake up every day still broke, so. Let's just say sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So, let's get to Italy last year. Okay, one influencer on the whole Pelesi story was quoted saying, I would pay 400 to 500 Namibia, 400 to 500 US dollars. Multiply that with, is it 18 or 19? Somewhere there, it's always fluctuating between those. Now, a woman says in a TV ad, holding a pair of 19 bucks sneakers. Nice! 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 Ooh, lele, key. Whoa. Get that. 19, make that times 2. So there were shoes. This was, now one influencer was quoted saying she would pay, she would pay, 500 multiplied that. Yeah, that, she would pay, take for example, $9,000 for a shoe that actually cost, and I can't stress this enough, $38. How did someone convince themselves that because they were in a quote-unquote high-end store, they were willing to fork out $9,000 for a shoe that cost $38? Why? Again, placebo effect is real, is very real. Now, that brings us to the, to Italy 2024. Italy's antitrust targets Armani deal after workers' exploitation probes. And this is from Reuters. It's coming from July last year. And Italy's competition authority is investigating. Last year the investigation was stopped. I think last month. It was stopped earlier, and you know, we'll get to why that, at least the reason why the reason the you know, the courts gave for stopping the investigations earlier. Italy's competition authority is investigating whether luxury brands Armani and Dior had misled consumers. It said following inquiries by prosecutors into workers' exploitation of suppliers of the two groups. Prosecutors in Milan uncovered workshops in the outskirts of Italy's fashion capital, and this was last year, where underpaid workers, often immigrants who were in the country illegally, produced leather bags, then sold to Armani and Dior for a tiny fraction of the retail price. And then they just go on to price someone. Oh no, that's not there. Now, Dior, which is controlled by French luxury brand giant LVMH. That's Louis Vuitton. Throw in Armani. Is Hennessy in there? Yeah, Hennessy in there. The whole thing is in French, so I can't pronounce it. The brand basically said they were cooperating with the Italian authorities because Italy is a huge market. You don't want to lose that. They were cooperating with the, you know, with the Italian authorities now, the Italian authorities were basically telling them that, you know what, you have got to halt all the production until the end of the investigation. So, because they wanted to look into the entire supply chain to make sure that, they were not misleading customers by getting their products from, you know, from cheap labor exploited employees. And then marketing them as, you know, a custom-made, hand-stitched, high-end material. But for how long was this before it was basically found out that it was? Here's the thing. Just, you know, the example given here is that Armani's U.S. website describes the stitching detail on a 2,295 small handbag. Yeah? 2,295. Okay. Make I see. 2,295. Multiply that on, give or take, by 19. $43,000 bag. Holy cow. Someone is willing to take out money under their pocket to buy a $40,000 handbag. Sweet. Man, people have money. So you're basically walking around with a Gadangi Botswana. Nice. For a small handbag this $40,000 handbag on the Armani website, it was described as reminiscent of the world of tailoring, contributing to create an exceptional accessory in which every detail upholds the elegant and refined appeal of the brand of iconic bag. You see, it's easy to lie to people, telling them the truth. That's the problem, which is why every guy know that. Can I take you to my house, sleep with you, and never call you again? Gets you killed. You look like an angel. Can I have your number? See, some reason that works. None of these two have seen an angel, but for some reason they are both convinced that someone in a blue dress looks like an angel in high heels. That's one heck of an angel. And the angel is also in Brazilian hair, fake eyelashes, and, earrings. Again, which angel we're told there are two types of angels. Is this the godly one or the ungodly one? I mean, just say. So, you know, one heck of an angel. So next time someone tells you you look like an angel, ask them which one. Because, well, according to Revelation chapter 12, there are two types. Some are still in heaven. Apparently some are here. I mean, we didn't invite them, but they just showed up. And they're the ones that are making us do things like get drunk. Really? I hardly doubt we have to blame them for this. This one is just our own craziness at play. But, hey, who am I? So, luxury brands were being investigated last year in Italy, especially, you know, by the Italian authorities, especially Armani and Dior. And the reason why they were being investigated was that, the Italian Competition Commission found out that in the outskirts of the Italian capital, one thing they, the Italian capital, I think one thing they found, you know, they found, you know, shops that were producing products similar to ones that were being sold by the two giant, you know, by two clothing giants. And well, the shops that were producing them, they were just produced by illegal migrant workers. But how these brands were being, or how these products were being presented to the consumers, they were being presented as, the ultimate, the textbook example of what high-end tailoring embodies. No, it didn't. It's mass produced somewhere in a, and then rebranded, and voila, you have your product. They are buying it to that immigrant worker run shops. $15 And they are putting it on their website and selling it for $40,000. Wow. And you have someone who have convinced themselves that, you know what? This is why I don't actually, this is why I'm not, I don't do brand loyalty. I just buy anything I fit in, because I'm telling you, because look, I don't care what your brand is. I don't care what your brand is. The bottom line, it's a company. And any company, the structures are the same, whether this company is coming out of China, is coming out of, you know, is coming out of America, is coming out of Asia. It doesn't matter whether it's coming out of, whether that company is coming out of a socialist or capitalist or economist or whatever east that you have going on. They have the same structure. They have shareholders. From shareholders, they have board of directors. You have, then you have your executive CEO and everyone else. You have managers, and you have yours truly, Helmut, and everyone else that's basically running around on the ground. So, the bottom line is, shareholders are the priority. You don't have to agree with me, but shareholders are the priority. For one very simple reason. They're the ones that are risking their money investing in that company. In other words, that company is running because of them. They are basically the fuel. So all the product that, all the more like the fruit that comes out of that, that comes out of that investment, they are the priority. Any company is willing to increase, shareholder dividend without any question. But when it comes to increasing, say, you know, employee salary, that requires one heck of a protest after another, and then they increase it with 5%. So, your brand has shareholders that are waiting for increase in dividend. You don't want to hear it, but that's actually how the world of economics works, unfortunately. That's a little better. That's how the world of economics works. I know we like to lie to ourselves, but no. Well, that was the story of Dior and Armani, and that the court basically told them to halt all, more like their production, at least in that part of the world, so that they can investigate whether or not that is true or not. Interesting, whether or not they were sourcing these products from from cheap mass produced factories. From cheap factories that were mass producing these products, and then putting them on their website and putting up, 1,000% markup. How do you move from $15 to $40,000? Holy cow. And then labeling it as the maximum, textbook example of, although in a, their exact words were, where's that one? Well, their exact words were reminiscent of verbosity is everywhere. It turns out, even in Italy, reminiscent of the world of tailoring, contributing to create an exceptional accessory in which every detail upholds the elegant and refined appeal of the brand's iconic bag. Now, it was produced by immigrant laborers, illegal immigrant laborers, and then it was acquired from them, and then they put up that one heck of a markup and sold to you, and you fell for it. You know, I think being broke has its own advantages, though. Can you imagine me spending, you know, $40,000 on a handbag and then finding out that it was produced by immigrant workers somewhere and the real price was $50 million? What the heck? But anyway, moving on. Now Italy's court lifts control over LVMH. Now this was this was in April. This was in February. And what they did, what happened was the Italian court announced the early end of the special administration regime. A regime placed on the Italian subsidiary of French luxury giant LVMH over allegations of labor exploitation in the manufacturing of Dior branded handbags. Now, interesting enough, they didn't say, the article doesn't say anything on whether or not it was true, on whether or not the outsourcing. They sort of like just dance around in the gray area. Or whether or not it was false. It's one of those things of, you know what, I cannot confirm nor deny situation that they were having on. But the information seems to be leaning towards, well, we caught them and they told us, and we are taking their words for it, that they will never do it again. Now, over the past almost 9 months, the company had, has adopted a required organizational model and supplier control procedure, the Milan court said in a statement. In detail, the fashion house resolved a relationship with at-risk, that's cheap labor exploitation, blah blah blah. At-risk suppliers extremely quickly. Resolved relationship with at-risk suppliers extremely quickly, and also developed several best practices that received court approval, the judge said. With Friday's decision on, with that decision on Dior's unit, the Milan court has revoked ahead of time all three special administrations it had imposed last year on the fashion brand. First on Alviero Martini and then on Armani unit. Dior family reaffirms its commitment to protecting and applying the core value of transparency. Yeah, right. Now, here's the thing. Big companies are very good at this. Let me explain. Big companies have an army of lawyers, an army of accountants. Now, one thing they do is, before they do something dumb, they first try to look at how long are they most likely to get away with it. And if they get away with it, take for example for a period of 10 years, how much money are they going to make? And take for example, if they get caught, what is the maximum fine that they are going to pay? Is this fine higher than the amount they are going to make from the sales or lower? More often, the fines are lower than the amount of money they make from all this type of frauds, from Nestle's, bottling tap water, and Armani's sourcing of, of exploited workers' products, and then putting them on their website with a 1000% markup. One thing for sure is that, look, if you know that if I rob a bank, I'm gonna get, if I rob a bank and get $1 million and get away with it, the fine that I'll be fined is $10,000. If you have a way of robbing that bank, you're gonna go ahead and rob that bank because you know that, well, as long as you have access to that money, you can easily bail yourself out. Because, interesting enough, all the legislations across the planet when it comes to holding big companies or big corporations, responsible, what they do is they don't tell them, okay, you know, how much money did you make from, they don't do the math of how much money these corporations make over this time period that they have been exploiting these companies. Or they've been exploiting their consumers. And then ask them that very same amount of money. The same thing happened with Apple's exploiting Siri to listen to their, to listen to the conversation of their consumers and then sell that information for targeted advertising. They made billions out of it. The fines they paid back was millions when they were caught. That was last year. Was that last year or earlier this year? So, it's about, is this risk worth taking? Because if the amount of money we are going to make before we get caught is higher than the amount, than the fine we are going to be asked to pay when we get caught, then, well, let's go ahead and do it. We'll just keep doing it. It's not that we don't know what we're doing is illegal. We know what we're doing is illegal. It's just that it makes a lot of money. So we're going to make that a lot of money because we know, deep down, we know, we have done the math with our accountants. We have looked at all the legal loopholes that we are going to be using to defend ourselves when we get caught. After all, we have an army of lawyers. Believe me, nothing takes place by accident, not in the corporate world, not in the political world, according to President Roosevelt. So, for my fellow brand lovers, brand loyal guys, congratulations. Sometimes, we get lied to. And these things happen all the time. Let's take a quick break and then we come back to, Kenya. Well, two Belgian, one Asian. I'm not sure if that guy is Korean. And one Kenyan. were arrested for smuggling. I'm not making this up. Ants. About 50,000 ants. First of all, shout out to the guy that took the time to count the ants at customs. And second of all, you have got to give these guys respect. Four fully grown men were somewhere collecting ants. I'm telling you, ants. And the reason behind is fascinating. We'll dive into that. Actually, it turns out Europeans are very rich. The things that they're willing to do, to pay for. It's fascinating. But more on that on the other side of the break. They didn't kidnap someone's auntie. They were arrested for trying to smuggle ants. But we shall continue as to the reasoning behind that whole. I don't know what to call that. Really.
It's early Easter savings at ShopRite. Get low prices on roasts, fresh fruit and vegetables, baked goods, treats and everything else you need for easy early Easter with deals like 3x16 grams eggs galore mellow Easter eggs for a low $9.99 per pack and the bakery traditional hot cross buns, which is $14.99, 6 per pack. Offer valid until 20 April. We're making early Easter easier with our low prices. Only at ShopRite. Lower prices you can trust. Always.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical...
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Welcome back. It's 29 minutes left to the hour of 11. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Mind the Gap with Helmed on Eagle FM, and I'm just here to make fun of people and things, mostly people, because, well, I'm a person. So now that let's give our brand loyal guys a break, and let's look at what is going on in Kenya. Nairobi! Four smugglers caught trying to transport thousands of live ants out of Kenya for sale, on exotic pet market in Europe and Asia will be sentenced for trafficking wildlife. Really? Wildlife? No kidding. Wildlife in a case being hailed as a milestone of Kenya's wildlife service. Now, picture yourself as a judge in this case. You know, you are just going about your day. You are hearing this one. Okay, you hear their case. They ran over a traffic light. All right. Well, $10,000 fine. Go ahead. Well, 10,000 Kenya shilling. Fine. And because we're in Kenya. And then someone comes up. Well, they stole someone's goat. And then four fully grown men shows up. What did those ones do? Your Honor, they were caught at the border trying to smuggle. Your Honor, first of all, before you hold us in contempt of court, this is not a joke. They were trying to smuggle ants out of the country. What? Man, the things black people will smuggle. No, actually, it's not just black people. This is the best global coalition of races that have ever been witnessed. Because there are two white guys, one Asian and one black. So every continent, basically, all the races are represented on this one. I think we are taking this whole conciliation to a whole another level on this point. The two white guys are from Belgium. And actually, Belgians, how did you guys move from, stealing real stuff like gold and diamonds to stealing ants? I think you guys have lost the art of stealing that your ancestors were basically expert at. Those guys, genocide, stealing, check, mass murder, rape, you name it. They were very good at it. I'm not saying it's a good thing for us if you are losing the touch of how to colonize. But, according to Reuters, the following is the story. You're gonna love it. Now, the KWS, aka Kenya Wildlife Service, said authorities had intercepted live queen ants, including from the sought after something Latin name species, also known as giant African harvester ant. Why not just go for the giant African harvester ant? Concealed in modified test tubes and syringes. Now, how they were planning on transport these ants is something that is a scientific breakthrough, which is why I keep telling people, this whole race thing, break it down. We can do a lot if every black guy had Chinese or Asian and white friends. That combo is top notch. That combo is top notch. Ask yourself one question. If someone approached you and asked you, how you would transport ants to Europe, how do you have gone with that? Where do you even put them? Now, these guys came up with a genius. These guys came up with a genius plan. They were transporting them through syringes. And according to experts, these ants were put in an environment where they could have survived in these syringes for up to a month. I'm not saying we could use the science, but it's a look. I think this is what you get for educating people and then not giving them jobs. They will apply the skills that you are giving them at school in something else. Now, I would like, on behalf of Mandume and I and everyone that have complained about all those labeling of insects that we did at school, it turns out they have their own application after all. We are just not finding the right way to apply that knowledge. It's applicable. You can use it to smuggle ants to Europe. It turns out there are a bunch of guys in Europe that are so rich, they are willing to buy ants. I can't say this enough. They are willing to buy ants as pets. Ash, white people. Aye. But anyway, investigations revealed that that the test tubes have been designed to sustain the ants for up to 2 months and evade airport security detection. The Kenya Wildlife Service said in a statement describing this as a premeditated and well executed. You bet it was. While some people may see ants as a as a picnic ruling nuisance, I know we have bug spray to spray them so they don't get in our houses. But it turns out we are just killing money, Baba. We're killing money. I'm not giving you ideas. There's a Namibian right there, you know, look, where do I find this article? I need to Google more on this. Time to do business, Baba. Now, it turns out, a bunch of rich guys, enjoy keeping them in formicarium. You see, I'm too broke to even understand that word. Transparent cases where they can watch them build complex colonies. Oh, really? It turns out there are a bunch of guys out there that are so rich and have so much time on their hands, they are willing to spend money to buy ants so they can sit and watch the ants build colonies. What? Not for science, no, just for fun. I mean, I have a few things you can do with your free time. You can watch a movie. Go on a tour, come to Africa and see the ants build their colonies and pay some of that money. A court document seen by Reuters stated that the authorities had intercepted about 5,000 queens packed in 2,244 containers with a street value of 1 million Kenya shillings, about 7,000 Namibian dollars. 7,800 Namibian dollars, that would be 7,800. You multiply that by 19, given 140,000! Man, that's a business model we should be looking at. Okay, now, I'm not saying we should do this, I'm not saying we should do this illegally. I'm just saying, Ministry of Environment and Tourism should look into this. There's a pet market out there. There's a bunch of guys in Europe that are willing to buy this African harvester ant. For those of you that are doing, studying these animal things. It turns out you can come up with a genius business model. Write a proposal to the environment and tourism and then meet with some of your buddies in Europe and tell them, actually, you know what that thing that's, a bunch of Belgian guys got arrested for in Kenya? Well, there's a legal way we can do this. My government here in our beloved land of the brave, we can sell you this, you know, legally. 140,000 for 50,000 ants. Can you imagine how much of that you can export per year? Now, this is where my diabolical mind now comes in. These ants are most likely going to die. Because, first of all, it's in the name. It's an African harvester ant. With the environment in Europe, it's going to die anyway. And when it dies, guess what rich guy will want? More of them. And because, well, we just keep selling until the economy is doing well. And then we go like, we're not selling them anymore because they keep dying. I mean, we do the same thing to chicken. We kill them and then cook and eat them. And we start saying, well, these chickens were not killed. No, they were put down. Jeez. Man, are we broken. So, if you are listening and you are thinking of a business model, you may want to look into exporting ants. You know, I would not have believed this story if it came out on the 1st of April. But it turns out,
it is true.
The syringes. The two Belgians, the Asian guy is from Vietnam. Two Belgians, one Vietnamese and one Kenyan. You know, it's always good to work with a guy that is familiar with the environment. You know, you can bet, this is why you should get out of urban areas every now and then. You can bet this guy is from the Kenyan guy is from the village. Because they found one in Mombasa and they found one in Nairobi and they had no idea what an African harvester ant is. They don't know where to find them. So they had to go there and find one heck of a village champion. It was like, you know what? I know where to find what you're looking for. As long as you make me partner in the business. He was made partner and he was, well, now he will be made partner in a prison cell. Look on the bright side. A new business model have been discovered. So, Minister of Environment and Tourism, this is something that he should actually, you know, try to look into. You're welcome. You see, the beauty of listening to Mind the Gap is you have all kinds of advice from political, relationship, financial, economical, religious. I have it all. I'm not saying it's the perfect advice. I'm just saying I have all the advice. All across the board. Social, economical, political, religious. You're welcome. The two Belgians, one Vietnamese and one Kenyan pleaded guilty on Monday to charges of illegal possession of trafficking of wildlife and appeared again on Tuesday at the Jomo Kenyatta International Airport court. This, Kenya doesn't play. They have a court right at the airport. Like, you know what? If we catch you smuggling something, we don't have time to drive anyway. We go prosecute you behind right here. Now, this is the Belgian guys. Now, it turns out these guys are losing their colonial touch. We did not come here to break any laws. And yet you did. But, by accident and stupidity, we did. You collected You collected 5,000 ants by accident? Okay, look, but I totally understand. This excuse is coming from a guy. So, it makes a lot of sense. So, every time you ask a guy why he impregnated your daughter, his first excuse is, well, it was not just me. Really? How many pamparampa does it take to impregnate someone? Just one. So you knew it wasn't just you. Why didn't you stop? Well, uncle, you don't understand this girl. You people don't know this girl. Okay. Moving on. One Belgian basically said, we did not come here to break the law, but because of utter sheer stupidity, we did break the law. Like, we did the exact same stupid thing this over and over again, like 5,000 times. And we had no idea we were breaking the law. We did it 5,000 times, but we had no idea we were breaking the law. Yeah, you find this, you know, a lot of people that impregnate each other these days. They will be doing it on the kitchen floor, living room, bedroom, and then when they find out they're pregnant, they go like, how'd that happen? Really? Kitchen floor, shower, living room, bedroom, car, public bathroom, well, bushes, elevator. And all those times you had no clue that that could lead to, you know, this. No, actually, I had no idea. Now, that coming from a woman, I can't speak for you guys, but that coming from a guy, I can totally understand. Believe me, bro had no idea. Because every time that you were doing it, a different head was thinking. That head have never made a good decision. Okay, that head have only makes one decision. One good decision. One, that's the continuation of the human species. Anything outside of that, that head just very good. And we're talking about, you know, that head below his shoulder. There's one head that is above his shoulder. Now that head all makes, is responsible for all the good decisions. The head below his shoulder, that head have only made one good decision. That's the continuation of the human species. Outside of that, it's just one damn decision after another that that head makes. Believe me. I know. I've shared enough. So, my Kenyan guys, a court adjourned the case until April 23 and it will consider a pre-sentencing report according to the Kenyan Wildlife Service and the National Museum of Kenya and the probation officer. The smugglers are in custody. Wow, that is fascinating. We are willing to buy also. Ayambo is willing to buy. Now, you and I are in Africa. We cannot buy ants, buddy. Just start a business model. Find out what African harvester ants are and then get yourself a few white friends. And it's important you also get your friend one or two Chinese friends, because you can bet the Chinese, the Vietnamese or the Vietnamese guy, chances are very high is the one that was responsible for, the way I'm looking at this, because there are two Belgian guys, one Vietnamese, one Asian guy, and then one Vietnamese guy and one Kenyan guy. You can bet the two Belgian guys found the market. And the Kenyan guy found the ants. And the Vietnamese guy found, the science of how to keep the ants alive until they get to Belgium or Europe. See? Collabo, very important. These guys decided, you know what? I don't care where you are from. I'm supposed to, you can imagine the Kenyan guy was going, I'm supposed to punch you in the face because, well, you colonized us. But I'm not going to do that. We are here to make money. Because we are here to make money, let's just focus on the bright side. Let's make money. So the Belgian guys found the market. The Vietnamese guy found the science. The Kenyan guy found the ants. And would you look at that collab that was interrupted at the airport and Kenyan Wildlife Service, which is, their equivalent of, I think, the Ministry of Environment and Tourism, these guys. Enemy of progress. Enemy of progress. All they had to do was pretend like they are not, it's not like they were trafficking something, it wasn't drugs that was going to kill someone in Europe. No. This was just ants that was going to generate employment. Bro already got a job. And now his job was is in jeopardy. In the next 10 minutes, let's look at what is going on in our parliament. Well, Bro Lukato in parliament is making a proposal that the $3,000 that was supposed to be that we talked about a few days ago, that every pensioner is like, can you please just increase our pension grant, please? And the president was like, you know what, we cannot increase it to 3K. Because, well, this year we have to take care of the youth first. I think that's a week or two ago. Lukato is like, forget 3K. 3K is not enough. These pensioners are breadwinners. They are taking care of the people. Some of them are taking care of a lot of people. Now, which makes a lot of sense because in Africa we have this thing called extended family. Now, and his proposal was, it must be cranked up to 5K a month, which is a very brilliant idea. The concern that some of, most of these shareholders, most of these, most if not all these pensioners are are more like, yeah, they are breadwinners. That's a genuine concern. But there's one question that was asked in the comment section that basically got me, got me thinking by one gentleman. That, you know, the problem with us is, we like to ask for increments left, right, and center. But we don't want to propose ideas on how to go about getting this money. When NAMRA is collecting money, when they increase levies or that leads to the increasing on price of either fuel or any product, we start complaining. We want some kind of grant to be increased, but we are not asking ourselves, okay, before we talk about increasing, how about we figure out a way to make the money? Let's figure out a way to make the money, and then we can propose, we have found another avenue of making money. Now that we are making this money, how about we increase this, the orphans grant, the orphan and vulnerable children's grant, or the pension grant, or yes, truly salary, and maybe a universal unemployment grant, or, you know, national unemployment grant or something. So, proposing that, how about every Namibian get at least $500, at least $500 a month? What the heck is that? What are you supposed to do with $500? Let's make it $1,000. $1,000. What do you even do with $1,000? Like, I live alone, and that's not enough for food. I eat a lot. Leave me alone. Now, that gentleman pointed out the direction that our discourse around any type of increment should take. I know all the $1 million for every citizen. I get that. That's Dingara. And all the $5,000 for, increment for pensioners. Brilliant idea. But the question is, where is the money going to come from? Let's just start from there. Because, this is not because I don't want our pensioners to get $5,000 a month. This is not because I don't want $1 million. God knows, I don't want $1 million. I need $1 million. Like, so bad. So bad. I need $1 million. Actually, I need more than that. My dream car cost way too much. Way more. But anyway, what we see is that, instead of just talking about increment, let's begin with the conversation of how do we make money that will contribute to our national, that will contribute to the increment of our national budget. When there is an increment in national budget, we can then say, okay, you know what? We have figured out this one or two or maybe 100 new avenues of generating money for the state. Then we can say, you know what, state? We have helped, participate in in coming up in all these avenues of generating income. Now, how about we increase, now that we have this money, how about we increase this grant, or just implement a whole new one? It's something that's very interesting to think of, if you ask me. Let's take a quick break. I don't know why my ads are not on automatic, but I'll have to murder someone at IT after this.
Experience the best of freedom and flexibility with Flex. Parata's Flex bundles now offer you even more freedom of choice, so that you can enjoy quality internet on the go or at home. Choose between fiber with mobile LTE or Sky-Fi with mobile LTE packages, starting from as little as 650 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT. You get more for less with Flex. Visit paratas.africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide. Always prepared.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, Between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Welcome back. So, increment. Increment is something that's really nice to call for. But it will, you know, the discussion around increments will make much more sense once we, we start it from, okay, before I call for this type of increment, how about, ask myself one very simple question. If I call for this type of increment, where is the money going to come from? Where is the money going to come from? Because the state will have to make that money first before bringing about any type of increment. And I think, it's safe to say that sometimes the state is not helping itself. So the state is not helping itself because, you have all these kinds of benefits for VVIPs and the executives and, it's, the reason behind the court, the court threats, more like the lawsuit or court case threats between the parliament and NBC. Because in 2021, they thanks to the contracts that executives signed, they were bought $1.something million cars and a lot of payment was given to them. Now, there's nothing illegal about that. That was according to the contracts they were given to sign. So, they had the right to ask what was due to them. Now, that made every employee ask themselves one question. Why is that guy getting a $1.something million car and my salary have not increased in the last 5 years? Which again was a genuine question. So, and just earlier this year, we're talking about the increase in S&T. So it's totally understandable for someone to say, okay, well, if you have the money to increase S&T, then you must have the money to increase, pension grants to, 5K? Huye more?
More, 100,
yeah. 200?
I suppose. Oh, if it's standing as any studio.
A Kenny Afrikaans Prat Ni.
Oh, okay. I thought this in the studio.
Yeah. This is the studio. We are talking to Helmton, Mind the Gap Comedy.
Is it? Are you not on air?
I am on air. You are on air.
Oh.
Okay. Okay. Do you want or you do not want to be on air? Because then I can give you the office line if you don't want to be on air.
I wanted on air, but it's Oshuambo.
Oh, no, that one is from 2:30.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, they are just reading the audios.
Yeah, must be.
Okay.
All right. Just a callback from 2:30 and you'll be able to participate in that program.
Okay, sir.
All right.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
So.
Yeah. And the time is 11 o'clock on the dot. Again, I will have to murder someone at IT. But before we do, let's look at something interesting. Windhoek awaits district hospital after groundbreaking. Construction work for the Windhoek district hospital is yet to begin 11 months after the groundbreaking ceremony in May 2024. the budget just came out. So let's give them a break. But anyway, it's just worth making, reading. I'm just loving it. The current president, led the groundbreaking ceremony on Farm 108 in Havana in Moses Garib constituency. Now, the president said the hospital was not an election stunt to canvass votes, but also to address the shortage of referral hospitals. Yeah. heard that before. But anyway, last year, several government officials, including the current president, former health minister, Dr. 13 recovery, 12 in the ICU, and 13 infections, visited the site to mark official start of the project. Yeah, right. Official start, my behind. A planned hospital will have 500 bed capacity, staff accommodation, as well as a mental health and frail care unit. That's intensive care unit. Just say intensive care. Seriously. And the construction is expected to begin, to be completed in 2027. Ah, okay. In that case, then I'm giving you guys, 2025, because if it's not happening, oh my God, when I come back on this topic, we are not going to have, okay, I'm going to have a good conversation. You guys will not like it. This is the thing about technology. This is not an election stunt. Okay, well, the budget, we're still talking about the budget, so I'm going to give you guys the benefit of the doubt on that one, because, and by the way, April 30th, I mentioned this before, but I also had it in Parliament last year, yesterday, so, you know, pointed out, it's a part of the discussion. Asset registration, 30 April, due date. Let's find out who has an iPhone with two SIM cards, let's find out who has a Mercedes-Benz with two engines, let's find out who has, you know, a farm that requires $200,000 bailout by some Irish fishing company, not firing any shots. But anyway, I have to go 3 minutes into Suzuma Salicho. And if you want to participate in, you know, in the Lozi show, now is the time, with France and for Mona Lisa. If you want to participate into the Oshuambo one, that's on Kundana Vingi. That's from 2:30. To 4:30. Then from 4:30, that's when you participate in a home run. That's with yours truly here, Hermutana Dwaita. Sorry, Lois. Had to throw that one in. For me, until tomorrow, same time, same place here on a favorite radio station, Eagle FM. Teachers. Did I point out that you guys run the country? You guys rock. Police officers, thank you very much for your safety and security. You guys, we cannot thank you guys enough. This has nothing to do with tomorrow's date. I'm just saying it's good to appreciate people's hard work from time to time. Look out of onana happy kamuso. I'm Siale Hande.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Slow internet should be a headache of the past, yet many Namibians have connections that just aren't fast. We have a solution that might set you free. It's called Mobile LTE, and it comes with real speed. You'll enjoy up to 50 megabytes per second from just 300 Namibian dollars a month, and free internet browsing after midnight till 6. When it comes to staying connected, this is it. Visit Paratus.africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide and experience the thrill of better internet with Paratus by your side. Always Paratus.
Ah.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are The Elsi Nehangano, Rio Sherero o Maimburiro, The Catholic Simane Kakarunga, The Afrikaans Sing Voor Diere, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-238-0633. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
Mukungulele kwa tuko maikuto wami na apili kwa mavuchaziva. Mwere kisema app atolo kasi nchavu kamso. Zakale liferile. Mise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zari vuka kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Mwone maikuto amancha a imba app. Mwikutwe kulibusie mba santo ye nguyetuna. Mwikole sifera fama kepe marizo hola mina. Hamuvone. Imba encha ni encha farizwe ikopanya mifuta ya lifera matasa app ilini kukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyali njira mlimu. Zengi zefu mani hamasifera sesifa app ya imba ze tatama. Elsin, Ehangano, Oshiherero, Omaimuriro, Catholic, Simane Kakarunga, Afrikaans, ni zengi zengata. Mululi zeze kachenu, haiva mtavira kulisifera sa kireke ya mina, si ekezwe fa mkoloko walifera za imba, va 081-235-8063, kapa mulumere imele kwa digital@omalaiti.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kachenu, mkona kufumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.